1 Kings chapter 16. Biblical Exposition. The successive sins of the dynasties of Israel and the appearance of Ahab. Introductory words. 1 Kings chapter 16 shows. Through the replacement and judgment of the kings of northern Israel, that even when the dynasty changes, if there is no return to the truth God has ordained, the stream of sin is not cut off. Baasha became the instrument that destroyed the house of Jeroboam, but he himself did not turn back from the sin of Jeroboam. He struck the house of Jeroboam, yet followed the way of Jeroboam just as it was. And God said that he would judge his house like the house of Jeroboam. In this chapter is recorded the stream of confused kingship that runs through Elah, Zimri, Omri, and Ahab. Though kings changed and power shifted, northern Israel did not return to God. Treason gave birth to treason. Those who seized power were judged in their turn, and the human kingdom grew ever more unstable. This shows that power that has departed from the way God ordained, however strong it looks on the outside, is collapsing within. With Ahab in particular, the sin grew deeper. He regarded the sin of Jeroboam as a trivial thing, took Jezebel as his wife, and brought the worship of Baal and Asherah into Israel. If Jeroboam changed the order of salvation God had ordained with golden calves and a corrupted law of sacrifice, Ahab piled more open idolatry on top of that sin. When sin is counted small, it can spread into greater evil in the next generation. This word is a solemn warning to believers today as well. Even if the church's name changes, the leader changes, and the system changes, if there is no actual return to the gospel of the water and the Spirit that Jesus Christ has completed, the essence does not change. If we leave out the baptism of Jesus and speak only of the blood of the cross, or try to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and our own efforts, that is changing the order of the remission of sin God has ordained with human thinking, like the way of Jeroboam. Jesus took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. We must stand on this gospel of the water and the Spirit. 1 Kings chapter 16 tells us that what matters is not outward change, but the essence of faith. Escaping from the sin of Jeroboam is more important than gaining the kingship, and following the righteousness of God rather than human greed is the true way of life. The word of God came to Jehu and rebuked Baasha. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 16 begins with the word of God rebuking Baasha. The word of God came to Jehu, the son of Hanani. Jehu did not criticize Baasha out of his own thinking. The word of the Lord came to him, and with that word he rebuked Baasha. Baasha was the man who had killed Jeroboam's son Nadab and become king. He struck the whole house of Jeroboam and became the instrument by which God's judgment was carried out. Jeroboam had changed the law of sacrifice. God ordained and set up golden calves, making Israel sin. And so his house received the judgment of God. But Baasha, even after seeing that judgment, did not turn back from the sin of Jeroboam. This is a fearful thing. Even after seeing another person's sin judged, one can keep walking the same way of sin oneself. Baasha struck the house of Jeroboam, but he did not cast away the sin of Jeroboam. The dynasty changed, but the content of the faith did not change. So God sent Jehu and rebuked him. Today as well, a faith that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit may change only its name and form. Even if the church's name changes, the leader changes, and the system changes, if the truth of salvation completed by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death is not there, the essence does not change. What pleases God is not outward change, but the faith that actually returns to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. God lifted Baasha out of the dust and made him ruler. Inasmuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you ruler over my people Israel. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 2. God said to Baasha, inasmuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you ruler over my people Israel. Baasha seemed to have become king by himself, but God says that even his rise to the throne was under the sovereignty of God. The words that he lifted him out of the dust show that Baasha's original place was not high. God lifted him from a low place and made him king of Israel. Therefore, Baasha should have feared all the more before God. He should have considered why God had raised him up, and, seeing why the house of Jeroboam had been judged, he should have returned to God. But Baasha did not use the place God had given him to serve the will of God. Even after becoming king, he walked in the way of Jeroboam. God had given him an opportunity, but he did not make it an opportunity to return to God. We too must receive with fear the place God has given us. If we have received the remission of sin by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, that is not a grace given so that we may live for our own benefit. God delivered us from sin so that we may serve the righteousness of God and preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Serving this truth, that Jesus took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us by rising again from death, is the way worthy of the grace we have received from God. Baasha walked in the way of Jeroboam and made Israel sin. You have walked in the way of Jeroboam and have made my people Israel sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 2. The heart of God's rebuke of Baasha is this. He walked in the way of Jeroboam and made God's people Israel sin. And so with their sins he provoked the anger of God. What is the way of Jeroboam? It is the way of casting away the law of sacrifice God ordained and making a religion out of human thinking in order to protect one's own kingship. Jeroboam set up golden calves at Bethel and Dan and said that these were the God who had brought them up from Egypt. He made priests of ordinary people who were not of the sons of Levi, and even changed the feasts at his own will. This looked like devotion offered to God, but in fact, it was the sin of tearing down the order of salvation God had ordained. Baasha saw that sin. He also saw the house of Jeroboam destroyed because of it. And yet he went the same way. This is not a problem of mere ignorance. It is the stubbornness of refusing to abandon one's own way, even before the judgment God has shown. The wrong Christian faith of today can also follow the way of Jeroboam. If we speak of Jesus and yet leave out the truth that Jesus took charge of the sins of the world by receiving baptism from John, we are changing the order of the remission of sin God has ordained. If we speak only of the blood of the cross and comfort a person whose heart still holds sin by telling him he is saved, that is not leading the soul to the true remission of sin. A teaching that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts is not the way of the gospel of the water and the Spirit either. God said He would sweep away Baasha's house like the house of Jeroboam. Surely I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 3. God said that He would sweep away the house of Baasha. And He said that He would make that house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Baasha was the man who had destroyed the house of Jeroboam, but now his own house came to receive the same judgment. Why was it so? Because Baasha became the instrument that judged the house of Jeroboam, yet he himself followed the sin of Jeroboam just as it was. Striking another sin does not make one righteous. If one does not return to the way God has ordained, one comes to stand under the same judgment. This word is very solemn. God did not look first at Baasha's political success or the length of his kingship. He looked at what way of faith he walked in. Baasha became king and gained power, but he did not cast away the way of Jeroboam. So God said He would sweep away his house like the house of Jeroboam. Today as well, criticizing wrong faith is not enough. Even after seeing another's error, if we ourselves do not stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit, we can remain in the same way. True faith does not end with pointing out another's sin. It is believing the gospel of the water and the Spirit, completed by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and His resurrection from death, and living within that truth. The judgment was proclaimed. Dogs would eat those who died in the city, and birds those who died in the field. The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Baasha and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the fields. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 4. God said that the dogs would eat whoever belonged to Baasha and died in the city, and the birds of the air would eat whoever died in the field. This is a fearful word of curse, in which not even the dignity of burial is allowed. The same kind of judgment that had been proclaimed on the house of Jeroboam was proclaimed on the house of Baasha as well. The reason God was angered to this degree is that Baasha's sin did not end with him as an individual. Like Jeroboam, he made the people of Israel sin. He dragged the people God called My People Israel, 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 2, into the way of wrong faith. The king who should have restored the law of sacrifice God ordained, instead made them keep walking the way of Jeroboam. The sin of a leader is heavy. When a person who does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit leads souls, those who hear His words also fail to escape from the sins of their hearts. If they do not know the baptism of Jesus, they cannot know how sin was passed on to Jesus. And if only the blood of the cross is preached, people cannot know the complete truth of the remission of sin. Then the congregation goes on leading a religious life while remaining sinners. What God desires is to lead people to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We must preach the truth that Jesus took charge of our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. This truth delivers a person from the sins of his heart and sets him before God as a righteous person. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, shows that we must actually escape from the sin of Jeroboam. This passage is the word in which God rebukes Baasha through Jehu. God lifted Baasha out of the dust and made him ruler of Israel. But Baasha walked in the way of Jeroboam and made God's people Israel sin. So God said he would sweep away Baasha's house, like the house of Jeroboam. Baasha saw the house of Jeroboam receive judgment. But he did not learn from that judgment and return to God. He destroyed the house of Jeroboam, but followed the way of Jeroboam, just as it was. This is a great warning for us today as well. Even after seeing the results of wrong faith, if we do not actually return to the gospel of the water and the Spirit, we come to stand in the same way of sin. God did not deliver us from sin so that we may live according to personal greed. It is the grace by which He makes us follow the gospel of the water and the Spirit and preach this truth. To have been delivered from the sin of Jeroboam means to have come to know the way of salvation God has ordained. It means to have come to believe the truth that Jesus took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and accomplished complete salvation by rising again from death. Therefore, we must not become like Baasha. We must not become people who see another's wrong and yet do not cast away the way of Jeroboam within themselves. Even when the king changes and the times change, without the gospel of the water and the Spirit, there is no way of life. We must stand firmly on the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has ordained and live with the faith that follows, not personal greed, but the righteousness of God and the word of life. Even Baasha's might could not cover his sin before God. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did, and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 5. The scriptures say that the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did, and his might were written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Baasha, too, had his record as a king. He came to the throne, ruled northern Israel, held political power, and did many things. In the history books of men, his might and achievements can be recorded. But the center of what God saw was not his might. God looked at what way of faith he walked in. Baasha was the man who destroyed the house of Jeroboam. The judgment God had pronounced on the house of Jeroboam was carried out through his hand. But though he struck the house of Jeroboam, he did not turn back from the sin of Jeroboam. This is the tragedy of Baasha. He stood in the place of striking another's sin, but he himself walked the same way of sin. The dynasty changed, but the faith of northern Israel did not change. The golden calves, the corrupted sacrificial system, and the desire to protect one's own kingdom remained just as they were. Today as well, a person's deeds and power cannot cover sin before God. Even if we do many things in the church, are recognized by people, and hold religious influence, if we have departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit, we do not stand rightly before God. We must stand on the truth that Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed salvation by rising again from death. Power and deeds without this gospel of the water and the Spirit cannot become fruit that gives life to souls. Even the throne could not let him escape death. So Baasha rested with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah. Then Elah his son reigned in his place. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 6. Baasha rested with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah. and his son Elah became king in his place. He reigned for 24 years, but in the end, he met his death. The power of the king could not hold back death, and what he did in his might could not let him escape the judgment before God. The scriptures record the deaths of the kings again and again. A king holds power and rules a nation, but that power also has its end. Baasha was no exception. He seemed to have destroyed the house of Jeroboam and established a new dynasty. But his life also closed with death. What is more fearful is the fact that his son Elah succeeded to the throne. That the kingship continues can look like stability in human eyes, but God had already said that he would sweep away Baasha's house like the house of Jeroboam. So Elah's accession was not the succession of a blessing, but the stream in which Baasha's sin and the judgment to come upon his house passed on to the next stage. Today as well, a wrong faith can be handed down from generation to generation. If a faith that does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit becomes a tradition, and a doctrine that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross, is passed on to the next generation. People keep leading a religious life without having the sins of their hearts resolved. The continuation of a kingship does not mean the continuation of life before God. True life is only within the faith that believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. God rebuked Baasha for imitating the house of Jeroboam. And also the word of the Lord came by the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha and his house. Because of all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed them. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 7. God rebuked Baasha and his house through the prophet Jehu. The reason was that Baasha, imitating the house of Jeroboam, did all that evil in the sight of the Lord. He provoked the anger of the Lord with the work of his hands. And he had also struck the house of Jeroboam. This word must be looked at deeply. Baasha was the man who struck the house of Jeroboam, but he was also a man who imitated that house. He cut off the lineage of Jeroboam, but he did not cut off the sin of Jeroboam. He tore down the dynasty of Jeroboam, but he left in place the golden calf faith and the corrupted law of sacrifice Jeroboam had made. So God rebuked Baasha. The sin of Jeroboam was the sin of changing the law of sacrifice God had ordained. To protect his own kingship, he kept the people from going up to the temple in Jerusalem and set up golden calves to replace God. He made priests of ordinary people who were not of the sons of Levi, and even set the feasts at his own will. This was the work of changing with human desire the order God had established to save sinners. Today, this sin connects with the faith that corrupts the gospel of the water and the Spirit. If we leave out the truth that Jesus took charge of the sins of the world by receiving baptism from John and speak only of the blood of the cross, we cannot explain how sin was passed on to Jesus. A faith that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts is not the way of the remission of sin God has ordained. A teaching that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit may look like serving God on the outside, but it cannot lead the soul to the remission of sin. Striking another sin does not make one righteous. What must be specially noted in Baasha's sin is the fact that he struck the house of Jeroboam. He became the instrument of the judgment God had proclaimed. But being used as an instrument of judgment did not mean that he was righteous before God. He struck the house of Jeroboam, yet went right on following the way of Jeroboam. This gives a solemn lesson to believers today as well. Criticizing another's wrong faith does not automatically set me on the truth. One can point out someone's error and speak of the problems of another doctrine. But if one does not stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit oneself, one can end up within the same stream of sin. True faith does not end with pointing out another's sin. It is actually returning to the word of salvation God has ordained. It is believing the gospel of the water and the Spirit, that Jesus took charge of all our sins with the baptism he received from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. Baasha struck the house of Jeroboam, but he did not cast away the sin of Jeroboam. We must not become like that. We must not stop at discerning wrong faith, but must look at whether our own hearts stand firmly on the gospel of the water and the Spirit. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 5 through 7, warns us not to imitate the way of Jeroboam. This passage sums up Baasha's life and shows clearly why he received God's rebuke. The rest of Baasha's acts and his might were recorded in history, and he died and was buried in Tirzah. His son Elah succeeded to the throne. But the heart of what God saw was not his might and deeds, but the fact that he imitated the house of Jeroboam and did evil in the sight of the Lord. Baasha destroyed the house of Jeroboam, but did not destroy the sin of Jeroboam. He stood in the place of striking another's sin, but he did not cast away the same sin within himself. So his house also came under the judgment of God. Today, we too must not imitate the way of Jeroboam. We must not change with human thinking the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has ordained. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross. A faith that says one is saved while sin remains in the heart. And a faith that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts are not the way of salvation God has ordained. The salvation God has given us is clear. Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. The person who believes in this gospel of the water and the Spirit is the person who has received the remission of sin before God. Therefore, we must not become people who, like Baasha, strike the house of Jeroboam and yet imitate the way of Jeroboam. More important than outward change, the replacement of people and the shift of power is that the essence of our faith returns to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We must actually escape from the sin of Jeroboam that God hates and live with the faith that follows not personal greed but the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Elah's short reign was the result of Baasha's sin being carried on. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, became king over Israel and reigned 2 years in Tirzah. 1 Kings chapter 16. Verse 8. Baasha's son Elah became king of Israel in Tirzah. He was on the throne for 2 years, but his reign did not last long. The scriptures record Elah's reign briefly, and then immediately show his death and the destruction of the house of Baasha. Elah was the son of Baasha. Baasha had become the instrument that destroyed the house of Jeroboam, but he himself had not turned back from the way of Jeroboam. God spoke to Baasha through the prophet Jehu. Though God had lifted him out of the dust and made him ruler of Israel, because he walked in the way of Jeroboam and made Israel sin, God would sweep away his house like the house of Jeroboam. So Elah's accession was not simply the throne passing to a son. It is the scene in which Baasha's sin and the judgment proclaimed on his house moved to the next stage. The kingship continued, but right faith before God did not continue. The father's sin began to appear as judgment in the son's days. Today as well, a wrong faith can be passed on to the next generation. If people speak only of the cross of Jesus without knowing the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and leave out the truth that Jesus took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, they cannot know how sin was passed on to Jesus. Then a faith in which sin remains in the heart keeps being handed down. This is the fearful lesson the age of Elah shows us spiritually. God's judgment came to a king drunk with wine. Now his servant Zimri, commander of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house, in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and struck him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 9 through 10. Elah was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, the steward of his house. At that time, his servant Zimri conspired against the king. Zimri was the commander of half his chariots. He was a man who held military power close to the king. And it was this very servant who killed the king and became king in his place. This scene shows just as it is the unstable spiritual state of the kingdom of northern Israel. The house of Jeroboam fell by treason, and the house of Baasha also fell by treason. A kingdom that has departed from the way God ordained collapses from within, even while it holds power on the outside. The king was drunk with wine, and the servant was harboring treason. There was no true peace inside the palace. The fact that Elah was drunk is not a problem of mere lifestyle. He did not realize that God's judgment had been proclaimed over his house. Though the word of the prophet Jehu had already come to the house of Baasha, Elah did not turn back before God. In the place where he should have repented, he stayed in the ease of the flesh. Today as well, if a person hears the gospel of the water and the Spirit and does not turn back, he is like one who is spiritually drunk. If he claims to believe in Jesus while sin remains in his heart, tries to resolve sin with prayers of repentance and his own efforts, and does not return to the complete way of the remission of sin God has ordained, he is failing to wake up even after hearing the word of judgment. True wakefulness is setting one's faith right before the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Zimri's treason became the instrument by which God's word was fulfilled. Then it came to pass, when he began to reign, as soon as he was seated on his throne, that he killed all the household of Baasha. He did not leave him one male, neither of his relatives nor of his friends. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 11. After Zimri killed Elah and came to the throne, he killed the whole house of Baasha. He did not leave a single male, whether of his relatives or of his friends. This looks like a very cruel seizure of the kingship, but the scriptures do not view this event as mere political slaughter. They view it as the process in which the word God had spoken concerning the house of Baasha was fulfilled. Baasha had struck the house of Jeroboam, But he did not cut off the sin of Jeroboam. Rather, he followed the way of Jeroboam just as it was. As a result, God said that he would make the house of Baasha like the house of Jeroboam. Now that word was being fulfilled through the hand of Zimri. Here we must distinguish between man's treason and God's judgment. It is not that Zimri struck the house of Baasha because he was a man of righteous faith. But God uses even man's evil treason to fulfill the word he has spoken. The word God spoke through the prophet does not disappear with the passing of time, but is fulfilled without fail. The believer must not take the word of God lightly. It is the same with the word of salvation God has ordained. The gospel of the water and the Spirit, that Jesus took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed salvation by rising again from death, is the way of life God has established. If we depart from this truth, no matter what religious form we have, we cannot reach life. The word God spoke through Jehu was fulfilled just as it was. Thus Zimri destroyed all the household of Baasha, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 12. The scriptures interpret clearly the destruction of the whole house of Baasha. This came about according to the word the Lord had spoken against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. So the death of Elah and the destruction of Baasha's house were no accidental events. They were the fulfillment of the judgment God had already spoken. God had given Baasha an opportunity. He could see why the house of Jeroboam had been destroyed. He could know that the house had been judged because Jeroboam set up golden calves and changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. But Baasha did not learn from that judgment. He struck the house of Jeroboam and yet imitated the way of Jeroboam. So God declared the same judgment on the house of Baasha as well. And that word was fulfilled, just as it was, in the days of Elah. This shows that though God's judgment may seem slow, it is fulfilled without fail. Today as well, a faith that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has ordained surely produces the result of killing the soul. If we leave out the baptism of Jesus and speak only of the blood of the cross, we cannot know the truth that sin was passed on to Jesus. Then a person holds only religious comfort while sin remains in his heart. This is not the way of the remission of sin God has ordained. They provoke the anger of the Lord with vanities. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they had sinned, and by which they had made Israel sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 13. The scriptures make clear why the house of Baasha was destroyed. It was because of all the sins of Baasha and the sins of his son Elah. They not only sinned themselves, but also made Israel sin. And with vanities, they provoked the anger of the Lord God of Israel. Here, vanities refers to the idols they served like God, though they are not God. The golden calves Jeroboam made and the false sacrificial system he set up were vanities. They looked like serving God on the outside, but because they were not the way God had ordained, they could give no life. Baasha and Elah did not cast away those vain things, and kept even the people in that sin. There are vain things today as well. Serving material things and success like God is a vain thing. Putting human tradition and the authority of a denomination before the Word of God is a vain thing. Above all, Speaking of the remission of sin with human doctrines, apart from the gospel of the water and the Spirit, is a vain faith that cannot give life to the soul. When Jesus received baptism from John, all our sins were passed on to him. The Lord carried those sins and received the judgment on the cross. And by rising again from death, he gave us complete salvation. If we leave out this truth and speak only of the cross, it becomes a faith with the order of the remission of sin missing. Such a faith cannot actually remove sin from a person's heart. What God hates is that people, while claiming to serve God, change the way of salvation he has established. Such was the sin of Jeroboam, and the sins of Baasha and Elah also lay within that stream. More important than the rest of Elah's acts is God's evaluation. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 14. The rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did were written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. He, too, would have had his records as king. But the scriptures do not explain his achievements at length. What the scriptures regard as more important is what way of faith he was in. Elah was on the throne for 2 years, but he did not turn back to the right way before God. The word of judgment had already come to the house of Baasha, but he did not repent before that word. He could not cut off his father's sin and could not escape from the way of Jeroboam. In the end, he was killed by the treason of his servant in the place of his drunkenness. Many deeds can be recorded in human history. But before God, what matters is whether one believed in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. More important than how long one was on the throne, how much one did, or what power one enjoyed, is whether one believed the word of salvation God has ordained. Today, we too must not boast of the record of our remaining acts, but must examine our own faith before God. We must stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit, that Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 8 through 14 teaches us to cut off the inheritance of vain faith. This passage records Elah's short reign, Zimri's treason, and the complete destruction of the house of Baasha. Elah came to the throne as Baasha's son, but he did not turn back from his father's sin. He was killed by Zimri in the place of his drunkenness. And Zimri, after becoming king, destroyed the whole house of Baasha. All this was fulfilled according to the word God had spoken through the prophet Jehu. The scriptures state the reason clearly. It was because Baasha and Elah sinned and made Israel sin as well, provoking the anger of the Lord with vain things. A wrong faith does not end as one person's problem. When the king goes the wrong way, the people follow that way too. When a leader does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit, those who hear him also fail to know fully the way of the remission of sin. Therefore, we must cast away the vain things. It is not only idols like the golden calves that are vain. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross. A faith that says sin is washed away by prayers of repentance. And the religious comfort that says one is saved while sin remains in the heart are also vain things. They are not the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has ordained. The way of salvation God has established is clear. Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. When we believe in this gospel of the water and the Spirit, we escape from the sins of the heart and stand before God as righteous people. Therefore, we must not inherit just as it is the wrong faith of the father's generation. Like Elah, we must not become a house that hears the word of God and does not turn back, like the house of Baasha. Even when the king changes and the times change, if there is no gospel of the water and the Spirit, vain faith continues. We must cut off that stream and stand firmly on the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has ordained. Zimri's seven-day kingship shows the vanity of power built on sin. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri had reigned in Tirzah 7 days. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 15. Zimri killed Elah and became king in Tirzah, but his kingship lasted only 7 days. He destroyed the house of Baasha and became king, but he could not rule long. The scriptures record his reign very briefly. This shows how vain is the power obtained by human treason. Zimri became the instrument by which the judgment God had proclaimed on the house of Baasha was carried out. God had said that because Baasha walked in the way of Jeroboam, he would sweep away his house. And that word was fulfilled through the hand of Zimri. But this does not mean that Zimri was a righteous man who knew and obeyed the will of God. He conspired against the king and killed him, and he himself was also in the way of Jeroboam. Here we must see an important fact. The fact that a person was used as an instrument of God's judgment does not mean that he stood in right faith before God. Zimri struck the house of Baasha, but he was not a man who had escaped from the sin of Jeroboam. He gained the kingship, but he had not returned to the way God ordained. It is the same today. A person does not automatically stand within the truth because he points out another's wrong or tears down some wrong system. True faith is standing on the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We must believe the truth that Jesus took charge of all our sins. By receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed salvation by rising again from death. Religious power and standing obtained without this truth can end as vainly as a seven-day kingship. The people in the camp made, not Zimri, but Omri king. Now the people who were encamped heard it said, Zimri has conspired and also has killed the king. So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 16. The people of Israel were encamped against Gibbethon. When they heard the news that Zimri had conspired and killed the king, they did not acknowledge Zimri as king. Rather, that very day, in the camp, they made Omri, the commander of the army, king of Israel. This scene shows well the confusion of the kingdom of northern Israel. In the palace, Zimri had killed the king and become king, and on the battlefield, the people set up Omri as king. Two powers came to face each other within one nation. A kingdom that has departed from the way God ordained has no order and no peace, even though it has the name of a king. Treason gives birth to treason, and one power struggle gives birth to another. This confusion of northern Israel is not mere political instability. At its root lies the sin of Jeroboam. Jeroboam cast away the law of sacrifice God had ordained and set up golden calves. He tore down the priesthood God had established and changed the order of faith to protect his own kingship. From that time on, the kings of northern Israel drifted not toward the way of faith God had ordained, but toward the way of protecting their own power. A faith today that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the same. If the truth of salvation completed by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death is not at the center, people become bound to defending their own claims and their own places rather than to the peace God gives. Where the gospel of the water and the Spirit is missing, the sins of the heart are not resolved, and so there is religious form, but no true peace. Omri's besieging of Tirzah is the picture of a kingdom of treason falling again by treason. Then Omri and all Israel with him went up from Gibbethon, and they besieged Tirzah. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 17. Omri went up from Gibbethon with all Israel and besieged Tirzah. Tirzah was where the palace of northern Israel stood. Zimri had seized the kingship there, but Omri and the army came up and surrounded the city. Zimri had become king by treason, and now yet another force came up to strike him. This is the wretched repetition of a kingdom that follows the way of Jeroboam. Jeroboam's son Nadab was killed by Baasha. Baasha's son Elah was killed by Zimri. Zimri in turn was pressed by Omri. Though kings change and dynasties change, if there is no return to God, the stream of sin does not stop. As the scriptures keep stressing, the sin of Jeroboam continued from generation to generation. The kings of northern Israel saw why the house of Jeroboam was destroyed and still did not turn back. Baasha destroyed the house of Jeroboam yet committed the same sin. And Zimri destroyed the house of Baasha yet was not a man standing in the right way before God. Even the one who strikes the sinner, if he does not turn back from the way of sin, enters the same stream of judgment in the end. The believer must examine his own faith before this word. More important than the eye that sees another's fault is whether I myself stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has ordained. A faith that does not know the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross does not know how a person's sins were passed on to Jesus. Then sin remains in the heart, and one tries to resolve that sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts. That is not the way of the remission of sin God has ordained. Zimri set fire to the king's house and died in it. And it happened when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and died. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 18. Zimri saw that the city was taken. There was no way of escape left for him. So he went into the citadel of the king's house, set fire to the king's house, and died in it. His 7-day kingship ended like this. This scene is very wretched. Zimri killed the king in order to seize the palace. But the palace he seized became, in the end, the place of his own death. The place he entered to gain power became the place of judgment and destruction. This is the end of power built on sin. When a person departs from God and lives for his own greed, even what he seems to have gained can become the place of his own judgment. Jeroboam made golden calves to protect his kingship, but because of that sin, his house was destroyed. Baasha killed Nadab to become king, But his house was destroyed in the same way. Zimri seized the palace, but he burned to death in that very palace. Today as well, a person can blur the gospel of the water and the spirit in order to build his own kingdom. To hold on to people, to protect an organization, to gain material things and power. He can try to change the truth God has ordained. But what is built apart from the gospel of the water and the spirit cannot save people in the end. True life is in the salvation Jesus accomplished by receiving baptism from John and taking charge of our sins, receiving the judgment of those sins on the cross, and rising again from death. Zimri also was in the way of Jeroboam. Because of the sins which he had committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he had committed to make Israel sin. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 19. The scriptures explain why Zimri died so wretchedly. He sinned by doing evil in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in the sin Jeroboam had committed to make Israel sin. Zimri's reign was only 7 days, and yet the scriptures evaluate him as one who was in the way of Jeroboam. This shows that what matters is not the length of the time of sin, but what way of faith one stood in. Even a 7-day kingship, if it is within the sin of Jeroboam, is an evil way before God. The way of Jeroboam is the way that changed the order of salvation God had ordained. It is the way that made the people serve golden calves like God, changed the priesthood and the feasts, and led the people away from the temple and the law of sacrifice God had ordained. It looked like serving God, but in fact, it was the sin of tearing down the way of the remission of sin God had established. Today, this sin connects with the faith that is departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit. If we leave out the baptism of Jesus and speak only of the blood of the cross, we cannot know how sin was passed on to Jesus. Then a person leads a life of faith with sin remaining in his heart. A teaching that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts is not the complete way of the remission of sin God has ordained. The salvation God has established is clear. Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. Believing this gospel of the water and the Spirit is the way of escape from the way of Jeroboam. Zimri's remaining acts were remembered as treason. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and the treason he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel, 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 20? The scriptures say that the rest of the acts of Zimri and the treason he committed were written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. The word that represents his life is treason. He killed the king and came to the throne. But that kingship ended in 7 days. His record remained not as a glorious reign, but as rebellion and a wretched death. By what is a person's life remembered? Zimri sought power, but before God he was recorded as a man who committed treason. He tried to seize the palace, but he burned to death in that palace. The deeds of a person who departs from the way God ordained remain in the end as a record of his own greed and rebellion. The believer must think about what record he will leave before God. In human eyes, success and power may look important, but what God looks at is the faith that stands within the gospel of the water and the Spirit. He looks at whether the person who has received the remission of sin through the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death is living according to that truth. Zimri's 7 days were short, but even that short time was evaluated before God. In our lives, too, the direction of faith matters more than length. A life that believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit and follows the righteousness of God is the blessed record before God. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 15 through 20, shows that power built on the way of Jeroboam surely falls. This passage records how Zimri was king for 7 days, and, pressed by Omri, set fire to the king's house and died. He killed Elah and came to the throne, but the people of Israel in the camp made Omri king. When Omri besieged Tirzah, Zimri saw that the city was falling, and he burned to death in the king's house. The scriptures say it was because he walked in the way of Jeroboam and did evil in the sight of the Lord. This word is a matter not of power, but of faith. Zimri became king, but he was not a man who had returned to God's law of sacrifice, in which the gospel of the water and the Spirit was prefigured. He was within the sin of Jeroboam. So his kingship ended in 7 days, and his deeds were recorded as treason. The believer today must realize clearly before this word, a faith that has departed from the way of salvation God ordained does not lead to life, however much power and form it has on the outside. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross. A faith that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance. And a faith that says one is saved while sin remains in the heart are in the same stream as the way of Jeroboam. The true salvation God has given is the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Through the baptism Jesus received from John, all our sins were passed on to him. The judgment of those sins ended on the cross, and by his rising again from death we have been justified. The person who believes this truth is the person who has received the remission of sin before God. Therefore, we must not hold on to a palace gained by treason and greed like Zimri. Power built on the way of Jeroboam surely falls. We must stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and live by the faith that follows not human greed, but the righteousness of God. This way alone leads us out of the stream of treason and destruction into the life and peace God gives. Northern Israel was divided in two yet again. Then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 21 through 22. After Zimri died in 7 days, northern Israel was divided in two again. Half of the people tried to make Tibni, the son of Ginath, king, and half followed Omri. In the end, the people who followed Omri prevailed over those who followed Tibni, and after Tibni died, Omri became king. This scene shows in what a state of confusion northern Israel was. The house of Jeroboam was destroyed by Baasha. The house of Baasha was destroyed by Zimri. And Zimri, pressed by Omri, set fire to the palace and died. Now the people were divided again between Tibni and Omri. Kings changed, and forces changed, but there was no true peace within northern Israel. The root of this division lies in the sin of Jeroboam. Jeroboam cast away the law of sacrifice God had ordained and set up golden calves. He kept the people from going up to the temple in Jerusalem, and changed the priesthood and the feasts at his own will. When the order of salvation God had ordained collapsed, the kingship also kept being shaken in treason and division. Today as well, apart from the gospel of the water and the Spirit, there is no true peace in the soul. If a person claims to believe in Jesus but does not know the truth that Jesus took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, he cannot know how his sins were passed on to Jesus. Then even though he speaks of the blood of the cross, sin remains in his heart, and he tries to resolve that sin with prayers of repentance and his own efforts. Such a faith can have the outward form of religion, but it leaves continual division and unrest inside the soul. Becoming king by force does not make one righteous before God. Omri prevailed over those who followed Tibni. In human eyes, Omri was a strong man. He had a military base, won more than half the people to his side, and in the end, seized the kingship. But the scriptures do not speak of Omri's victory as a righteous victory before God. God's evaluation differs from human strength. Omri became king, but before God he walked an evil way. He gained strong power, but with that power he did not restore the way God had ordained. He did not cast away the sin of Jeroboam, and he did not turn northern Israel back to the true law of sacrifice, in which the picture of the gospel of the water and the Spirit was contained. People easily judge right and wrong by the size of a force. When many follow, when one wins outwardly, builds a great city, and gains political power, it looks like success. But God looks at what way of faith a person stands in. Omri won, but he did not escape from the way of Jeroboam. It is the same today. A faith that many people follow is not necessarily the truth. A big church, a big organization, many ministries, and people's recognition do not in themselves make a faith that pleases God. What God looks at is whether one believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. He looks at whether one believes and preaches the truth of salvation accomplished by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death. Omri built Samaria, but did not return to God. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah. And he bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver. Then he built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built, Samaria, after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 23 through 24. Omri became king of Israel and reigned 12 years, 6 of them in Tirzah. Afterward, he bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer and built a city on it. And he called the name of the city Samaria. Samaria afterward becomes an important center of northern Israel. Omri was politically a king who established a new capital. He did not merely seize the throne. He laid a new foundation for his kingdom. In human history, this can look like a great achievement. For it is the work of a king founding a capital and creating the center of a dynasty. But the scriptures do not speak of Omri's building of Samaria as his spiritual restoration. He built a city, but he did not return to God. He established Samaria, but he did not cast away the golden calf faith and the corrupted law of sacrifice Jeroboam had set up. Rather, that Samaria later becomes the center where the worship of Baal and Asherah deepens in the days of Ahab. This is the difference between man's building and the faith of God. A man can build a city, build a palace, and set systems in order. But if he does not return to the gospel of the water and the Spirit, all that building cannot become the fruit of life before God. Today as well, a church can build its outward form. It can put up buildings, form organizations, and equip systems. But without the gospel of the water and the Spirit, that Jesus took charge of our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed salvation by rising again from death, that outward form cannot give life to souls. The believer must regard the truth of salvation God has ordained as more precious than the outward city of Samaria. Omri did worse than all who were before him. Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all who were before him. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 25. The scriptures evaluate Omri very sternly. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all who were before him. This evaluation is separate from his political ability or his building of a city. In human eyes, he was a strong king, but before God, he was a more evil king. The kings of northern Israel kept repeating the sin of Jeroboam. Nadab went that way, Baasha went that way, and the days of Elah and Zimri also passed in treason and judgment. Yet Omri is recorded as having done worse than all who were before him. The stream of sin was not weakening. It was growing deeper. Sin does not weaken when it is left alone. If one does not turn back to the way God has ordained, it grows ever deeper. After Jeroboam set up the golden calves, northern Israel did not become new with each change of king, but flowed into a more evil way. After Omri comes Ahab, and Ahab regards following the sin of Jeroboam as a trivial thing, and comes to serve even Baal and Asherah. Today as well, a faith that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit can harden with time into a more entrenched tradition and doctrine. It may begin with ignorance of the baptism of Jesus, but as time passes, the wrong doctrine that one receives the remission of sin by believing only in the blood of the cross becomes a system, and people take it for granted that sin remains in their hearts. This is drifting ever farther from the way of salvation God has ordained. Omri walked in all the ways of Jeroboam. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 26. Omri's sin is clear. He walked in all the ways of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. He walked in the sin by which Jeroboam had made Israel sin. And with vain things he provoked the anger of the Lord God of Israel. The way of Jeroboam is the way that changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. In the law of sacrifice God ordained was contained the shadow of the gospel of the water and the Spirit that Jesus Christ would accomplish. The way the sinner laid his hands on the sacrificial offering to pass his sins onto it, and the offering shed its blood and received the judgment, shows that Jesus would take charge of our sins by receiving baptism from John and would receive the judgment of those sins on the cross. And it makes us look toward the complete salvation the Lord would accomplish by rising again from death. But Jeroboam changed this order at his own will. He led the people away from the temple and the law of sacrifice God had ordained, and made them serve golden calves like God. Omri, too, followed that exact same way. So the scriptures say that he provoked the anger of the Lord with vain things. A vain thing is something that cannot give life. A golden calf is not God. Human doctrine cannot take the place of the way of salvation God has ordained either. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross cannot actually remove sin from a person's heart. A faith that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts is not the way of the remission of sin God has established. These things may have religious form, but they are not the truth that gives life to the soul. Only the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the way of salvation God has ordained. Jesus took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. When we believe this truth, we escape from the sins of the heart and stand before God as righteous people. God's evaluation matters more than Omri's might. Now the rest of the acts of Omri which he did, and the might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 27. Omri had his remaining acts and the might he showed. He prevailed over Tibni and became king, built Samaria, and newly shaped the political foundation of northern Israel. In the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel, his might and deeds would have been recorded. But the scriptures do not praise Omri with his might at the center. Rather, they evaluate him as having done evil in the eyes of the Lord, done worse than all who were before him, and walked in all the ways of Jeroboam. Man's history books record might, but the scriptures record faith before God. This gives us an important standard as well. What faith a person lived by before God matters more than what achievements he left. Omri had might, but he did not restore the way God had ordained. He built Samaria, but he did not return to God's law of sacrifice. The picture of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Today as well, a person's deeds and power cannot be the ground of salvation. Even if he has done much in the church, influenced many people, and built a great organization, if he does not believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, it is not the faith that has received the remission of sin before God. What God looks at is whether one believes in the salvation completed by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death. After Omri came Ahab, so Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Then Ahab his son reigned in his place. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 28. Omri died and was buried in Samaria, and his son Ahab became king in his place. Here the scriptures prepare the next scene. The age of Ahab, more evil than Omri, begins. Omri built Samaria, and he was buried there. But the Samaria he built did not become a center of faith returned to God. Rather, in the days of his son Ahab, a temple of Baal was built in Samaria, and an altar for Baal and a wooden image of Asherah were made. The stream of sin did not stop, but grew deeper. This shows that a wrong faith can appear more seriously in the next generation. When Omri did not cast away the way of Jeroboam, Ahab, who followed him, regarded following the sin of Jeroboam as a trivial thing, and went on to more open idolatry. When one generation does not hold on to the gospel of the water and the Spirit, the next generation can go into deeper spiritual confusion. The believer must think of the next generation before this word. We must not preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit dimly. We must preach clearly the truth that Jesus took charge of all our sins. By receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of sin on the cross, and completed salvation by rising again from death. If this truth disappears, what remains is only a city named Samaria, and the records of kingship, and in the end, a greater idolatry takes its place within them. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 21 through 28, shows that even a strong kingship is vain without the gospel of the water and the Spirit. This passage records how Omri won the contest with Tibni and became king of northern Israel, bought the hill of Samaria, and built a city, and was evaluated before God as evil, because he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam. Omri was a politically strong king. He seized the kingship, established a new capital, and showed his might. But before God, he was a king who did worse than all who were before him. Why is that? Because he did not cast away the way of Jeroboam. The sin of Jeroboam was the sin of changing the law of sacrifice God had ordained, and leading the people away from God with golden calves and his own greed. Omri gained the kingship and built a city, but he did not turn back from this sin. So his building of Samaria became not a spiritual restoration, but the foundation on which a deeper idolatry would stand. Today as well, outward success does not guarantee true faith. Even if we build a great city, gain power, and gather many people without the gospel of the water and the Spirit, it is a vain way before God. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross. A faith that says one is saved while sin remains in the heart. And a faith that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts are not the way of salvation God has ordained. The salvation God has given us is the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. The person who believes this truth is the person who has received the remission of sin before God. Therefore, we must not be content, like Omri, with gaining forces and building cities. We must return to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We must cast away the way of Jeroboam and the way of Omri and stand on the word of salvation God has ordained. Only this truth delivers us from the stream of division, treason, and idolatry and leads us into the life and peace God gives. Ahab went on to a way more evil than Omri's. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 29 through 30. Ahab became king of northern Israel as the son of Omri. He ruled Israel and Samaria for 22 years. And in evaluating Ahab, the scriptures say that he, quote, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30. The kings of northern Israel had already walked an evil way. Jeroboam changed the law of sacrifice God ordained and set up golden calves. Nadab followed his father's way, and Baasha, though he destroyed the house of Jeroboam, followed the sin of Jeroboam just as it was. Omri, too, was recorded as having done worse than all before him, but Ahab was more evil still. This shows the fact that when sin continues without turning back, it grows ever deeper. In the days of Jeroboam, they set up golden calves and served them as though they took the place of the Lord God. But in the days of Ahab, Baal and Asherah came in openly. A wrong faith does not weaken by itself if left alone. It can develop into a stronger and deeper idolatry in the next generation. Today as well, a faith that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit can become a religious system that hardens more and more with time. It may begin with ignorance of the baptism of Jesus, but as time passes, the faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross hardens into tradition and doctrine. Saying one is saved while sin remains in the heart, and trying to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts, come to be regarded as natural. This is not the way of the remission of sin God has ordained. When the sin of Jeroboam is counted light, one goes on to greater idolatry. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal, and worshipped him. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31. Ahab's sin is revealed in that he regarded following the sins of Jeroboam as a trivial thing. He did not merely repeat the sin of Jeroboam. He counted that sin small. And he took as his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served and worshipped Baal. The sin of Jeroboam was by no means a light sin. To protect his own kingship, he made golden calves and told the people not to go up to the temple in Jerusalem. He changed the priesthood and the feasts God had ordained. This was the sin of tearing down with human thinking the law of sacrifice God had set up as a picture for the salvation of sinners. Yet Ahab counted this sin light, and he went a step further and served Baal. The marriage with Jezebel was not a mere royal wedding. It became the way of accepting pagan faith and spiritual fellowship with it. Through Jezebel, the worship of Baal and Asherah came deeper into northern Israel. The believer today also must not take lightly teachings that differ from the gospel of the water and the Spirit. If we think, "It does not matter if I do not know the baptism of Jesus. It is enough to believe only in the cross," or, "Even if sin remains in the heart, it is all right. If I keep praying prayers of repentance," that is taking lightly the way of salvation God has ordained. It was because Jesus received baptism from John and took charge of all our sins that he could receive the judgment of sin on the cross. And by rising again from death, he justified us completely. If we take this gospel of the water and the Spirit lightly, the soul can drift into a deeper false faith. The altar of Baal was set up inside Samaria. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 32. Ahab built a temple of Baal in Samaria and set up an altar for Baal inside it. Samaria was the political center of northern Israel that Omri had established. And Ahab set up the temple of Baal inside that very center. This shows that idolatry did not stay at the personal level, but entered as the central faith of the nation. Jeroboam, even while setting up the golden calves, had said that they were the God who brought Israel up out of Egypt. He spoke as though he were serving God while in fact replacing God with golden calves. But in the days of Ahab, it was more open. He built a temple in the name of Baal and set up an altar for Baal. It was not a matter of serving God somewhat differently. It was exchanging God for another God altogether. This is the spiritual corruption of the days of Ahab. The law of sacrifice God had ordained disappeared, and the altar of Baal was set up inside Samaria. The people had their hearts stolen away, not by the way of the remission of sin God had given, but by idols thought to give abundance and rain and the blessings of the world. There can be altars of Baal today as well. The heart that relies on material success, on prospering in the world, on people's recognition, and on the abundance of the flesh more than on God, can become an altar of Baal. And a religious system that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit can look like serving God on the outside, while failing to lead the soul to the remission of sin. But the altar God receives is not the altar of Baal that man builds. It is the faith built on the gospel of the water and the Spirit that Jesus Christ completed by his baptism, the cross, and his resurrection from death. The wooden image of Asherah provoked God's anger still more. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33. Ahab did not stop at building the altar of Baal, but also made a wooden image of Asherah. So he provoked the anger of the Lord God of Israel more severely than all the kings of Israel before him. Baal and Asherah were connected with pagan faith, symbolizing abundance and fertility. People served these idols, seeking the blessings of rain, good harvests, and many descendants. In the end, the idolatry of Ahab's days was not a faith that serves God, but a religion for obtaining fleshly prosperity and worldly abundance. This is a very important warning for today as well. A person can claim to believe in God while his actual heart is directed only toward the blessings of the world, material things, and success. If he has no interest in receiving the remission of sin through the gospel of the water and the Spirit and serving the righteousness of God, and seeks only to prosper, grow rich, and be at ease in the world, that is no different from the heart that serves Baal and Asherah. The purpose for which God saved us is not to let us fulfill worldly desires. Jesus took charge of our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death, so that we might know and serve the righteousness of God. Therefore, we must cast away the heart that serves material things and fleshly abundance like God, and live within the truth of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. A curse came upon the man who rebuilt the Jericho God had torn down. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son Segub. He set up its gates, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua the son of Nun. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34. In the days of Ahab, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He lost his firstborn son Abiram when he laid its foundation, and he lost his youngest son Segub when he set up its gates. The scriptures record that this came about according to the word the Lord had spoken through Joshua the son of Nun. In the days of Joshua, the city of Jericho fell by the judgment of God. And Joshua warned in the name of the Lord that whoever rose up and rebuilt the city of Jericho would lay its foundation at the cost of his firstborn and set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son. Yet in the days of Ahab, Hiel ignored that word and rebuilt Jericho. As a result, the word of God was fulfilled just as it was. This event shows how lightly the days of Ahab regarded the word of God. The king served Baal and Asherah, and from among the people came a man who rebuilt the city God had torn down. It had become an age that did not fear even when God's warning stood. Spiritually, Jericho makes us think of the world and the city of sin that God has judged. To rebuild what God has torn down is to return to the worldly desires and the way of sin that God has cut off. The person who has received the remission of sin through the gospel of the water and the Spirit must not rebuild the Jericho God has torn down. He must not turn back to the way of turning his back on God, making success and riches and recognition in the world the purpose of his life. The believer must be not a person who rebuilds the city of Jericho, but a person who builds the city of faith that pleases God. He must set his heart on preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit, serving the righteousness of God, and giving life to souls. Holding on to this truth, that Jesus took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us by rising again from death, is the true way of faith. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 29 through 34, shows how deep idolatry can go. This passage shows, through the appearance of Ahab, the scene in which the sin of northern Israel grows deeper. Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. He counted the sin of Jeroboam a light thing, took Jezebel as his wife, and served Baal. He built a temple of Baal in Samaria and set up an altar, and even made a wooden image of Asherah. In his days, Hiel ignored God's warning and rebuilt Jericho. And according to the word of God, he lost his two sons. This word shows that the sin of departing from the way God ordained can grow ever deeper. The corruption that began with golden calves developed with time into the worship of Baal and Asherah. The false faith that had looked like serving God finally became an idolatry that replaced God altogether. The believer today must fear this stream. If we take the gospel of the water and the Spirit lightly, faith degenerates more and more into human greed, worldly success, and religious form. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross keeps people from knowing how sin was passed on to Jesus and cannot lead a person whose heart still holds sin to the true remission of sin. The salvation God has given us is only the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us completely by rising again from death. The person who believes this truth is the person who stands in the way of life God has ordained. Therefore, we must not count the sin of Jeroboam a light thing, as Ahab did. We must not put the abundance of the world and the desires of the flesh before God, as though serving Baal and Asherah. Nor must we become people who rebuild the Jericho God has torn down, like Hiel. We must walk the way of faith that pleases God within the gospel of the water and the Spirit.